So we're wrapping up our series and called Thriving in Babylon, and hopefully this has been challenging for you. Hopefully it's been interesting, but also hopefully it's been encouraging as well. Because I know when you think about our culture and you look at the TV and you hear the news scene and everything that's going on, sometimes it can be very disheartening, can be overwhelming, and sometimes you can lose hope. But we don't have to lose hope because we have a God that's still in control, still watching over, still has a plan that is higher than any other plan in this world. Now, Daniel is a guy that we've been looking at. We've been just taking little moments where we've been kind of peering into his life and just seeing how he clung to God. He didn't just kind of get by in his culture, but he thrived. He excelled and went all the way to the top. I mean, he was like the second person in charge. But yet, he was in a culture that was a very difficult culture. It's a culture where evil was kind of the norm. In fact, Babylon, the Bible uses that word as evil. In the culture, they had a cult worship, they had devil worship, they had all types of magicians and enchanters, the sexuality was a mess. It's not much different than our culture. In fact, it's probably a little bit even more extreme. But yet Daniel showed us that we can make a difference no matter what culture is doing around us. Now, I don't know about you, but I need encouragement because sometimes it feels like I woke up in a different world. Because 10 years ago, and I'm dating myself, it feels like all of a sudden we kind of fast forward and I woke up in a time where it's like everything has changed and it's a little bit overwhelming. And I need encouragement from somebody like Daniel of how do I make a difference here? How do I bring glory to God in this world? And no matter what direction culture is going, because culture is moving and is going to be moving further and further away from the truths of God. In fact, in our culture, you can see people are becoming very hostile to Christians and people who believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. And that's something that we believe at the core of who we are. And the culture just is starting to push back and say, no, there's other ways. And this way you can get in here. God is all loving and he's going to allow everybody in. That's not true. And we have to still stand on truths and make a difference here in our culture. And Daniel says, one of the things that you and I really, really need is wisdom. Now, wisdom is something that you have to seek after. You have to search it out. Because if you look at Daniel, he sought after God. He wanted to be a wise person. He didn't. When I'm talking about wisdom, I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm not talking about being wise according to worldly standards. I'm talking about being wise in the Lord. And Daniel had all these moments where they were up and down, where he was overwhelmed, and where life kind of threw him some curveballs, and he didn't know what was going on. He didn't have all the answers. But he always did one thing. He stopped, and he asked God for wisdom. And he didn't do anything until he heard from God. And I think it's that wisdom that he listened to that helped him rise up to the top and show glory, the glory of God to people around him. Because I mean, when you look at how he stood above everybody else, it was all because of he trusted in God. But he knew what he believed, and that's something that you and I need to ask. Do you know what you believe about God? Do you know what the beliefs are in the Bible and why we believe what we believe? Because I think in our culture right now, they've twisted truth a lot. They've taken truth, just little bits of it, and twisted it enough because of we have supposedly superior knowledge and wisdom because of we're humans. They twist it just enough. We start to believe what culture believes instead of what God teaches. And if you don't know what you believe, then you're going to be led astray, and you're not going to be bringing glory to God in this world. And Daniel clings to his faith. He clings to his beliefs and what he knows to be true about God. And one of the things that he believes is that God is sovereign, that God is in control of everything. He's in control of those who are appointed as rulers in the world. He's in control of his life. And he holds on to that. And he knows that God is in control. And he doesn't get discouraged when things are getting a little bit crazy and they don't make sense to him. Because he knows that God's got a master plan, and his master plan is a hierarching plan about redeeming mankind to him. And God is always going to put that plan out, and that plan and that agenda is always going to go before all plans of man. And Daniel seems to understand that. And he clings on to wisdom. Now, I know that all throughout culture and all throughout history, it has been difficult to follow Christ. There's never been an easy time if we really think about it. People have struggled of how do I stand in these beliefs that I really believe and know to be true about God when the whole world around us is changing. And people have been battling that since all of time. But yet the people kept rising up, and people keep rising up saying, this is how we live. This is what we believe in spite of what's going on here in the culture. And it's all from wisdom that's been imparted by God. And we have to have this wisdom that God gives. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he's telling his disciples, he wants them to go out into the culture, a very hostile culture, a culture that is a very evil culture. It's a Roman Empire. The emperor himself thinks that he's God. There's all these other little gods. There's all the corruption within all the taxing system. There's people that are always cheating and swindling each other. In their culture, pretty much anything goes. The Romans, they get sick of you. You kind of stand up against them a little bit. They crucify you. They get rid of you. That's the culture Jesus came into, and it's the culture that he sends his disciples into. And he tells them these words as he sends them out. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. That's the instruction that Jesus gives to his disciples as they prepare to go out into their culture. He says, I want you to know something. I want you to be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. In other words, I want you to know that it's going to be very difficult when you go into culture. I want you to know that when you go out there, there's going to be people that are going to persecute you because of me. Because you believe that I am the Son of the living God, people are going to laugh and they're going to think that you're foolish. And he says, but I want you to be prepared for that. I want you to have that in mind. And Jesus is sending them out with wisdom is what he's doing. And then he goes on, he says, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. I mean, Jesus is saying, you know, hey, be careful. Because when you go out there, there are going to be people that are going to be persecuting you. And they're going to persecute you to the point where they're going to flog you in the synagogues, in the church, if you will. And when you're being flogged and when you're in those moments, you have an opportunity to testify to kings and to religious leaders who I am. But be mindful, these things are going to happen. They're not going to like you because if you say that you believe that I am the Son of the living God and that I am the Messiah. And when you say that, the world kind of pushes back, our culture pushes back. And Jesus says, be prepared for it. And then it goes on in verse 18, or excuse me, 19. It says, but when they arrest you, don't worry. And I like that, but when they arrest you. I mean, how would you guys like that? Hey guys, go on out. Share the gospel message of Christ. Oh, when you get arrested. Not if you get arrested. When you get arrested. When you get arrested, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I mean, those are powerful words. I don't know if you've ever slowed down and just really took that in. Jesus says that when people persecute you, or when people arrest you, or people ridicule you for your beliefs, don't worry about what to say. Because in that moment that you step up and stand on the beliefs about who God is going to do something. He's going to place his Spirit in you, and his Spirit is going to rise up inside of you and give you wisdom and give you the very words to say against them. I mean, we like to debate with the intellect, don't we? We like to think that we can outwit people and try to convince them to come into the gospel message that our message is so superior. And God says, don't do that. It's not about your intellect, it's about my Spirit. My Spirit is going to speak on my behalf. And it's my Spirit that's going to convince people of who I am. But you need to be faithful. Be ready. You're going to go through some tribulation. You're going to go through some difficult times. But just be faithful to stand on the truths that are found in God's Word and the things that we know to be true about God. And when we do that, God's Spirit comes over people and he gives them the very words in that moment. He gives them wisdom that is beyond them. I don't know if you've ever experienced that happen, but it's incredible when it happens. Because you know it's God imparting that wisdom. It's not something that came from a human being where they just kind of made these things up. But it's God speaking on his behalf. Because I don't know if you ever thought about this, but God doesn't need to be defended. God doesn't need us to have a wise argument about explaining why we believe what we believe. Because God is his own defender. And God is wise enough to say the right words. So we just need to be faithful and go out and take the good news of Christ to people, no matter the cost, no matter what culture says, no matter what culture says, oh, just you need to put your faith aside. Oh, you Christians, you just believe this stuff. No matter what culture says, we need to stand up and stand firm in who Christ is. Now, Daniel is a person who stood faithful in his beliefs and what he believed about God. He didn't waver in it. And in Daniel chapter 2, if you want to turn there, we're going to look at Daniel chapter 2. Is that Daniel, he stood true in what he knew to be true about God. He knew that God was going to show up, and he knew that God was a God that was in control, and he knew that all the things that he learned from his childhood, from his fathers, his grandfathers, and from his forefathers, he knew all those things to be true, and he did not waver, even when he was in a culture that was hostile towards the one true living God. And he didn't waver at all. But Daniel finds himself in this moment again where all of a sudden his life is in jeopardy for his beliefs and the king is coming and trying to take the lives of other people. The king is Nebuchadnezzar at the time in Daniel chapter 2. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he has a dream. He's terrified. He doesn't like the dream. He doesn't know what it means. He didn't tell anybody what the dream was, but yet he gathers all these wise people, the magicians, the enchanters, anybody that's wise, the sorcerers, anybody in their culture who could give him some type of insight. He brings them in and he says, I want you to interpret my dream. And they're like going, well, tell us your dream. And Nebuchadnezzar, because he knows that these guys are wise, he knows that they're going to make up something because that's what they've done in the past, is they made up stories. And he knows that that's just going to be a made up story. So he goes, no, tell you what, you tell me the dream and then you interpret it too. And these guys are like going, oh no. And then he goes, if you can't do that, you're dead. And this is where we kind of pick up in verse 10 of chapter 2. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. And I think that's an important line. There is not a man on earth. You see, the wisdom that Daniel is looking for does not come from man. He's looking for wisdom that comes from God. Even these enchanters are like going, king, what you're asking us to do, you're asking us to know the thoughts in the heart of man. There's nobody that can do that. Only God can do that. They don't know this God, but Daniel knows that his God can do it. And then he goes on. He says, no king, however great and mighty, has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. And then verse 11, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among us. And I think that's an important line to stop on for a second. Because these guys believed in that there's multiple gods. And these gods that they believed in didn't even walk amongst them. Now the God that Daniel believes in and the God that we believe in is a God who lives with us. God was with the Israelite people. And now you and I, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, God is in us. So we have a God that is with us and in us. And these guys are like going, but the gods that we worship, they're not even around us. So Daniel has a confidence in God, that his God knows the hearts of man. His God is in control. And his God can give him this impossible answer. But he needs this wisdom. And then it goes on in verse 12. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were set out to look for Daniel and his friends and to put them to death. And his friends, if you remember, are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All their friends were considered wise men because they were in the council of the king. Now, they were going out to get them to put them to death because nobody could answer this. And then verse 16 says, and at this, because Daniel's like going, I don't want my life taken, I don't want my friend's life taken, so I'm going to go to the king. Because it shows you something about Daniel. He gained favor of the king because Daniel was a person of character and integrity. And he's a person who did what he was supposed to do with his job as well. And so the king trusted him, and so he had the king's ear a little bit. Because normally you wouldn't have the audience of a king unless you were a person that the king admired. He says, at this, Daniel went in to the king and asked him for time, so that he might interpret the dream for him. In verse 17, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he argued, he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. I mean, this is an incredible moment. Daniel's like going, my life is on the line. What are we going to do? Do we run? Do we hide? Do we use our wisdom, the wisdom of the culture? No, Daniel goes, the first thing that I got to do is I got to grab my friends who are believers in this one true God, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And we want to have these guys specifically asking God for wisdom, and that God would reveal a mystery that only God can reveal, because nobody knows the mind of men. Nobody can read the mind of somebody else. And Daniel's going, plead with God. Ask God to grant this kind of wisdom. And when I read that, I started to wonder, what are we missing out on as a body of Christ because we don't gather our fellow believers together when all of a sudden we need wisdom? We need wisdom in our life. Maybe it's a career choice that you're going to make. You need wisdom of how to heal a broken relationship together. Or maybe you need wisdom of what direction God wants you to go. And how many opportunities are we missing? And we're not hearing God's wisdom because we don't gather people together and pray and ask for wisdom. Because God wants to give it. He wants to impart it on us. He wants to flow out on us to the point where we're hearing from him. And we understand what he wants us to do. And these guys are pleading with God, going, God, please answer this. In verse 19, we're going to skip to. It says, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. So after all this prayer, all these people seeking out God's wisdom, these four men, God is moved. Because they come to God with humility. And when people are coming to God with humility and asking for wisdom, God moves. And he answers. It says, during that night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. And just listen to his praise in verse 20. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. God changes times and season. God sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. God reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. I mean, Daniel's just like, he's so ecstatic going, God did something amazing. God spoke. God imparted wisdom. I mean, he told Daniel the very dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Nobody else in the whole kingdom, all these smart people, all these people of high intellects, all these religious leaders, they couldn't do this. Only the God of Daniel, which is the one true God which we worship today. And he said, this is the God. This is who he is. He wants to impart wisdom, but you got to search after it. And then it tells us in verse 26 that Daniel comes to the king. In verse 26, the king asked Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? In other words, are you sure, Daniel, you can tell me this? Because all these other guys make up stories. And then Daniel replies, I love his reply. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Isn't that powerful? Daniel, standing before the king, doesn't go, oh, great king, I'm really intelligent. I've been blessed by God. God gave me a word. Instead, he goes, there's no man. Nobody's smart enough. There's no enchanter. There's no magician. There's nobody. No human being could give this answer. But there's a God that's in heaven that reveals mysteries. And then he began to unfold the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. And that dream was a dream that was a powerful dream. It speaks of things that are to come. And there's things in there that still haven't even happened. And within that dream, it talks about that one day that God is going to set up his kingdom on earth, and it's going to be an everlasting kingdom. It talks about the way to salvation and how salvation, God's going to kind of carry out that plan. I mean, it's a powerful dream if you study it. But Daniel's telling him this dream, and the king's got to be sitting there going, wow, this is incredible. This is exactly what I dreamt. And look at what the king's answer is in verse 47. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. I mean, Daniel sought wisdom from God. He had his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego praying, saying, God, please answer this and give our friend Daniel wisdom. Daniel is blessed by God and he gets the wisdom, and he tells that wisdom to the king, tells the interpretation of the dream, and you know who gets glory? God gets glory. Right there in the middle of Daniel's life in jeopardy, in the middle of a culture where they like the intellect of people, where they kind of focus on the magicians and enchanters and the cults. They focus on all those things to give them the answers, not the one God. But Daniel focuses on the one true God, and God says, this is what I'm going to reveal. Mysteries. Mysteries that you cannot have this kind of wisdom unless it comes from God. And God says, I want to give you guys that kind of wisdom. But it's something that you have to search out. The question is, do you want that kind of wisdom? Because God says, I want to give it. I want to give it freely. Why does he want to give it freely? Because he wants to reveal mysteries. He wants us to know who he is. He wants us to know why we believe what we believe in the Word of God. When we open up the Word of God, he wants us to understand it. He doesn't want it to be a mystery to us. He wants to reveal the hidden things that are in here to us. But it's only when we seek after God in humility and ask him to pour out his wisdom on us. There's a time in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul is talking to a young church in the church of Corinth. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to head there next. But Paul is addressing a church. And it's a church that is having some problems. It's like probably most of the churches in our culture. Man is in the way. Man's agenda, man's will is always carrying forth in a church. And it causes problems. Causes dissension. It causes brokenness in relationship. And you have Paul addressing this church saying, guys, God wants to impart wisdom on you. But God can't give that wisdom to you because you're not mature. Why is it, would Paul even say that? Paul's like going, you're not mature, and here's why. Because you're divided. Because one of you says, I believe this person, and another one of you says, I believe this person. And we do this all the time in our culture, and it's pointless. Well, we cut off and we say, well, we like this church over here. Let's go to this church over here because I like the teachings of this guy better than this guy. I like the beliefs that are over here better than the beliefs here. I like the music over here and better than over here. The church is kind of divided. The whole church, when we're talking the worldwide church, we're divided. And God is, well, I said that the church is not divided, or this divided. So you have this incredible moment where Paul's speaking and saying, God wants to impart wisdom. But you guys are being mere humans. Mere humans, aren't we humans? If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've accepted that, you're not a mere human. You're supposed to be spiritual. You're supposed to be living for the kingdom of heaven right now. You're not supposed to live by human ways anymore. You live by the way of the Spirit. And you have Paul going, you guys aren't doing it. You're choosing sides. And Paul says, when I came in here, by the way, I tried to give you a simple message. I didn't use lofty words. I didn't use my intellect, because Paul was a high intellect. He could have used lofty words. But he said, I didn't come in here and use lofty words because I didn't want to take away from the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection of Christ. I wanted it to be clear that the message that is coming here is not a message from man. It's a message from God. It's wisdom. It's a mystery that's revealed from God and the Spirit of God. And Paul's like, going, but God wants to put this wisdom on you, but he can't do it. Look what he says in verse 4. He says, my message and my preaching were not to the wise, were not wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So in other words, I wasn't trying to convince you of anything. I wasn't using my own wisdom, is what Paul is saying. But the power of the Spirit, I wanted you to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. So that way, nobody boasts that it came from Paul or it came from somebody else, but it came from God and God alone. So he says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We're not using worldly wisdom, is what Paul says. We're not using our intellect, but we're letting the wisdom of God fall. And then he says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. In other words, he has a message. He wants to impart this wisdom, but you have to be mature. But this church wasn't mature because there's division, there's fraction in the church. He says this in chapter 3, verse 2. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for it. In other words, God wants to give you something greater, greater wisdom, but sometimes we're just not ready for it because we're living by our worldly nature, not by this the power of the Spirit. And then you have this, he says, indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly, in verse 3. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? In verse 4, he says, for when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? I mean, Paul is like going, people, don't follow men. Don't follow the ways of our culture. I mean, yeah, in our culture, I mean, we're too busy looking into our culture and looking at leaders for salvation. We're looking for leaders for deliverance. We're looking for wisdom from our political leaders, from our church leaders, from all these different leaders and culture that we, these spiritual gurus, we're looking to them. And Paul's going, don't look to them for wisdom. Don't look to man for wisdom. Don't look at Kelly for wisdom. Because you're not going to get it from Kelly. The wisdom that I have to offer comes from the Spirit of the living God. And he says, but you got to be willing to stop feeding your human nature. You have to put that thing to death. You have to die to yourself. And you have to say, I want this. I don't want to be mature. I don't want to have division anymore. I don't want to quarrel. I don't want jealousy. That's of the world. It's not of God. And he says, but I want to give this wisdom. And then he comes back in verse 6. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age. Excuse me. Not the wisdom of the age, this age, or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. What an incredible verse. You have this is so incredible if you think about it. There is the possibility that God wants to impart wisdom, not a wisdom of this world, but a spiritual wisdom on us. And that spiritual wisdom is knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Knowledge of that Jesus died on the cross. And when he died, his death paid the sacrifice for your sins. And his death, and when he died, he was placed in a tomb for 3 days. He descended to the depths of the earth, and he rose again by the power of the same Spirit that God wants to give to us. That Spirit rose him from the dead, and now Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the spiritual wisdom that he wants to impart on us. And the spiritual wisdom, once you accept it, once you receive it, it says here that it's for your glory. And it's for your glory. And God gave this and wanted you to have this even before the world was put on its foundations, before time even began. God wanted you to have this wisdom. And he wants to bestow it on you freely. He says, but you can't choose the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of this age, it says, and the wisdom of the rulers, the wisdom of religious leaders, religious gurus, whatever you want to call them, their wisdom is human wisdom. Don't look to a president. Don't look to a congressman. Don't look for local government to save you. That's not going to happen. They don't have the kind of wisdom that you need. Their kind of wisdom fades. Their kind of wisdom leads to destruction because it's worldly wisdom. God says, but there's another wisdom. He says, no. He says, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before the time began. So there's a question. This wisdom that God wants to bestow on us is something that we have to search after. Do you want it? You have to ask that of yourself. And if you want that wisdom, are you okay with looking foolish in the world's eyes? Because the wisdom that God offers is foolishness to men. God confounds the wise. Our culture thinks, when they hear about people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, our culture laughs and considers it foolishness. When I say that there is a creator of the heavens and the universe, and that you were created, you're not just a mistake, you didn't just happen to come along, but you were created by the Creator God. Our culture laughs and thinks that's foolishness. But that's a wisdom that leads to life. And Paul says, God wants to give this kind of wisdom to us. Daniel sought after wisdom from God that brought life. What kind of wisdom are you searching after? Worldly or spiritual? Paul says, worldly wisdom fades, leads to death. Godly wisdom leads to glory. That means that you have life eternal with God. And then he says in verse 8, he says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For they had and they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, the men and women, the rulers that were considered wise, the religious elite of Jesus' day, didn't even have this kind of wisdom. Yes, they had wisdom. Yes, they knew their books. Yes, they knew that a Messiah was coming. Yes, they knew the prophecies. They knew all that, the religious leaders. But they didn't have this wisdom that was imparted from God because they were proud of their wisdom, human wisdom. So they sentenced Christ to death. And Paul's like going, but you can have this wisdom. You can have a wisdom that where God unfolds and reveals mysteries to you about who he is and what he's done and why he's done it. And then verse 9, it says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, this is a verse where it kind of confounds our human thinking. Because we think wisdom is gained by seeing it. We think wisdom is gained by hearing it or maybe touching and feeling it. That's how we learn. But Paul says the wisdom that God wants to give is something that you cannot see with your own eyes. You cannot learn it from your own ears. You can't just have it well up inside of you and all of a sudden you do a bunch of good things and receive this kind of wisdom. You can't just pray for this kind of wisdom, but it's a wisdom that God puts on you and gives you freely. And this wisdom, it's something that you can't get by worldly standards. Why? So that not one of us can boast about it, this kind of wisdom. So that not one of us can go, look at what I know. Look at what I've achieved. Paul says it's not about boasting because God gives it. It's nothing that man can get on their own. By coming to a knowledge or an intellectual conclusion that this is who God is. It's something that God has to do for us. I mean, we live in a very arrogant age, I think. Because we say things like, I imagine God is like this. I imagine that God works this way, and this is how and who he is. That's arrogance, isn't it? Who are we? We are the created being to say who the Creator is. No mind can fathom who he is. I mean, he is the ruler over heaven and earth. He is the one who has created it all. We cannot all of a sudden say, I imagine God is like this. We can't just come to this intellectual conclusion that God works this way or God doesn't work that way. It's only when God bestows that power on us, and he does it through the power of his Spirit, that we fully comprehend who he is. I mean, I think sometimes God is probably thinking, what are you thinking when you say, this is how I work? Or this is what God's going to do? Or God gave me a word. God's like going, who do you think you are? You're a created being. Any wisdom that you have is human wisdom and understanding. But I want to give you a wisdom that is greater. And it's a spiritual wisdom that confounds the wise. And then I love how Paul says it next in verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. In other words, the wisdom that God wants to bestow on you, you cannot gather, you cannot conjure it up. It's something that the Holy Spirit of God gives you. And the only way that you get the Holy Spirit of God is if you truly accept the work of Christ on the cross. And you truly surrender to God as your Lord and Savior. And once we do that, something incredible happens. God's Spirit is given to the believer. And it's not just God with us, it's God in us. And then it goes on and he says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Bible just said that the Holy Spirit, which is placed in the believers, knows the mind of God, knows the deep things of God. You and I, we cannot fathom in our minds. We can't come to a conclusion that this is who God is and how he works. I mean, we're just imagining that. But it's the Spirit of God that testifies to who he is. Because the Spirit of God searches the deep and profound things of God. And what Paul said here is, he said that this, it's kind of like this, that you can't even know the mind of a man. You can't, right now, you can't even tell me what I'm thinking, can you? Let me think of something right now. A second. Okay, I'm thinking of something right now. I'm going to, I said it wrong this morning. It's not ESPN, but ESP. There you go, ESP. Okay, I'm trying to do that right now. So what am I thinking? That was a given, right? Yeah, the fishing's a given. Worms? No, not thinking about worms. Grandkids? That's a good one. I'm thinking of, actually, I changed it from the first service so nobody could get it. Is I'm walking with my wife along a beach in New Zealand, marveling at God's creation. That's what I'm thinking. And the only way that you would know what I was thinking is if I could place my spirit in you. Because there's no way you can know my mind, is there? There's no way that you can know the spirit of a person unless that spirit was placed in you. And this is what God is saying. And this is what is so incredible and so marvelous if you think about it. God says, what I have done through the death and resurrection of Christ, for those who believe, what I have done, I have taken my spirit and I have put it inside of them. And I put that spirit inside of you, and that spirit knows who I am. And that spirit reveals the deep, hidden truths about who God is. That spirit testifies that God is sovereign. That spirit testifies that He is who He says He is. That He is the Creator. And that His Son is the Savior of the world. That His Son came into this world and lived a perfect life and died and rose from the grave and ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father right now. The only reason that I know that is because the Spirit of God inside of me testifies to that and tells me that. It's not a wisdom that I got from a pastor or the Bible. It's a wisdom that I got from the Spirit that's living in me. How do I know that salvation is secure? How do I know that God is going to work everything out? How do I know that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How do I know that He is the Almighty One and the only God? The Spirit of God that is inside of me, that's how I know. That's how I gain this wisdom that has been imparted by God's Spirit. Not because some intellectual person told me. Not because I'm intellectual. It's because God says, I want you to know this. And when He places His Spirit in you, all of a sudden there's something inside of you. Your spirit goes to His Spirit. Abba, Father. God, I am loved by You. God, I am perfect and I am righteous in Your sight because of Your Son. Inside of me, it's like the Spirit of God is testifying, saying that my salvation is secure, that I have eternity, I have an eternal glory with Him. Not because of the conclusion I came up to with, but because of God's Spirit has testified that, because He knows the deep, profound things of God. I mean, it says this all throughout the Bible. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts as nothing. It's the Spirit of God that imparts the wisdom that you and I need to live in the culture that we're in right now. It's the Spirit of God that is living with us that gives us the knowledge and the wisdom of how to bring God glory right here, right now, even though our culture is moving further and further away from God. And it's the Spirit of God that has been placed in us that gives us the strength to hold on to the truths. And gives life when it's hopeless. You know, there's a time when Peter, do you remember Peter? One of Jesus' disciples? I mean, he was kind of a bold one, would always come to these great statements. And there's a time where Jesus was asking him, Peter, who do you say that I am? I mean, people are saying that I'm this. I'm a great prophet, I'm Elijah, I'm this, I'm that. But Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Son of the living God. You're the Savior. And Jesus' words in Matthew are this. In Matthew 16, 17 says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Again, the Spirit of God revealing who God is. I can't reveal to you who God is. I can't argue with you. I can't convince any one of you in here to come to Christ. I don't have enough intellect. I don't even have the argument. And it won't work because this is my wisdom. It's the Spirit of God that draws people to Him. It's the Spirit of God that reveals the truth about who Christ is. That He is the Son of God. That He is the Savior. And He is coming again to rule and reign. It's the Spirit of God that gives that kind of wisdom. you may be here this morning and this is kind of, you're thinking, whoa, this is kind of strange, but I kind of am hearing something that I haven't heard before. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus is. You've never accepted him. I just want to encourage you. Would you just take a simple step of by just accepting that you don't know everything about who God is? And that you would ask God a simple question. God, would you reveal to me who your son is? And here's what we know about God. When we say a simple prayer of wisdom like that, God says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. If we seek after him, it says that we will find him. He wants to impart this kind of wisdom. Maybe you're a person who's kind of accepted Jesus and you've been kind of in and out in your walk. Because you keep hearing what's going on in culture. You keep hearing what all these people are saying. And you're looking at religious leaders and they keep messing up and they keep failing. And you start wondering, okay, is this God thing real? Is Jesus thing real? And so one minute you feel this and the next minute you don't. Could you just do one thing? Can you just, today, just say, I believe. And God, would you help me believe it? Because you've already heard the truth and you know it to be true. But you're confused because of culture. You're confused because of men's arguments. Would you let God in again and let him speak and fall passionately in love with him? For those of you that are believers and you've been walking with God and these things you believe, will you do one thing? Will you say a simple prayer today and say, God, I need your wisdom. I need the power of your Spirit in my life. Because he wants to bestow, he wants to put it in us so that way the hidden things that we don't understand are revealed to us. Not by man, but by the Spirit of the living God. You know, how are we going to make it in this culture? How are we going to stand out? How are we going to bring glory to God? It's when we have this kind of wisdom. A wisdom that is imparted from God, from his Spirit. We learn how to live differently. We learn how to believe differently and stand true to who God is. And we don't compromise. Daniel never compromised once on his beliefs about his God. Sometimes I think that we forget our beliefs, don't we? Sometimes we hear what everybody else has said and we believe what a pastor says. We believe what maybe a friend says because we think that they're smarter or wiser. And we kind of forget. I want to do something a little bit different as we close the service and ask that the praise team would come forward. Just as a reminder, the Apostles' Creed, you saw it earlier. I want you guys just to stand this morning with me. And I want you to read this with me. You may not believe it yet. Maybe you're not a believer. Then just hear what it has to say. But if you're a believer, I would ask that you would say this and ask God to rise this up inside of you and make you so passionate in your beliefs that people can see that you believe in the one true God. So let's just read this together. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. And I would ask, Lord, that you would just impart wisdom on your believers, meaning that you'd pour your Spirit out to the full measure, so we can understand the depths of who you are, so we can understand the depths of your love for us. Lord, I would just ask, Lord, that you'd help make us people that are passionate for you, uncompromising, but yet loving and merciful and gracious just like you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.